Welcome into the whole show. Good Monday morning, Northern Colorado. Glad you guys could be with us here. We are live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. I am Brady Hull. We've got Michael Kirkpatrick on the other side of the bulletproof glass. Man, we got a lot to talk about. We got a lot to get into. Broncos get the win. They are 11-2. They now are the number one seed in the AFC. If they win out, they're going to be the number one seed. They got four games remaining, so we'll get into that. Love that. The Avs win big, win two games over the weekend. The Nuggets are winning over the weekend. Colorado State and Colorado, absolute death match there. The Rams pull it out. UNC Bears win at the buzzer to avoid overtime over South Dakota. Ring Neary with a tip in at the buzzer. In overtime. Actually, that was in overtime. So just a lot of greatness happening around the area. Oh, and we have the college football playoffs. And it unraveled exactly how I wanted it to. Not necessarily because I'm rooting for the little guys and all. I mean, part of me is, part of me isn't. I don't really know my full thoughts there, but I do know this is entertaining. And I got some thoughts on that because Virginia lost to Duke. That threw everything for a loop. And now you have Tulane and James Madison. Two G5 schools get into the playoffs. Last year it was, nobody expected, not only expected a Boise State to, you know, to get in, but I mean, you did. You're going to have another conference champ there. But to get a first-round bye, well, they edited that, so now that's not happening. Nobody expected two G5 schools to get in. You got an ACC school get in, but not their conference champ. Miami did get in. Notre Dame got left out. Alabama got in. BYU got left out. So many thoughts on this, and it sounds like they're already, the wheels are in motion for next season for a potential change in the college football playoffs. But first, Michael, the good, the bad, and the ugly, presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good, all of it. All of it. I mean, if you're a Buffs fan, probably not, but that was still a great game. Two really good teams. I think the Buffs will be still pretty good. Again, it's so early in college basketball, it's still hard to tell whether CSU is really that good or they've had a pretty decent schedule. Same with CU. Same with UNC, although South Dakota was a pretty... That dude, they just pressed the entire game. And you went down... Quinn Danker went down early in that game, and you still pulled off the dub. So we'll get into that. But all of it was good. The bad for me was, how about... It was Tad Boyle being, was he tone deaf or was he really throwing some shade? Tad had this to say at the end of the game after the loss to CSU. Time will tell, we'll figure it out, but I'm not going to change what we do, blah, blah, blah. Credit goes to CSU. They played their butts off. This was their Super Bowl. We knew it was going to be like this. And that's what Buffs fans like to say, right? That CSU, anytime CSU plays CU, that's their Super Bowl. I don't think so when it comes to basketball. I texted Ali after the game and I just said congrats. He hit me back the next day and he's like, just always great to get an in-state win. He's not trying to make it sound like that was anybody's Super Bowl last night because CSU and CU have had their battles over the years. And certainly CSU is, you know, they're dancing these days, more often than not. Three out of the last 4 years, they've been dancing. Are they going to make it four out of the last five? The ugly for me is... It's ugly, but it's beautiful. So it's not really ugly. It's the Kansas City Chiefs. Their reign of terror is over, Michael. They will not win the AFC West. Now, they could still get into the playoffs, but they will not win the AFC West. It's either going to be the Broncos or the Chargers. Chargers coming up, big one tonight for them. But Chiefs look bad. Like, their receivers just aren't catching footballs that are thrown right to them. Patrick Mahomes wasn't perfect, but there's a lot of miscues that are happening with the Chiefs that we just don't normally see. And now they might not make the playoffs. That's all good, right? For the first time since Patrick Mahomes has taken over as the starting quarterback, the Chiefs might miss the playoffs. How about that? First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. On to the Broncos game. Now, they win. The spread was 7.5. Denver ends up winning by 7. You get a penalty there late, a delay of game by the Broncos, and then the Raiders opt to kick a field goal, even though it's not going to do anything but cover the spread. So they got to them. Broncos win 24-17, and that's not really the tale of the game. They were in control of this game. I mean, they marched down that first drive by Denver. They hadn't had a score, an opening touchdown drive in a while. So finally, you know, they get all the way down the field, take a lot of time off the clock. It was just a perfect drive, kind of a rocky finish, but Bo Nix finds the end zone. And then on the flip side, the Broncos give up an opening drive touchdown to the Raiders. They hadn't done that for a while. So you're wondering, uh-oh, are the Broncos going to mess around here? They're going to play with their food, score in the second, score in the third. They didn't light the world on fire, but they were in control of this game throughout. Bo Nix finished with 212 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. He was sacked 3 times, but R.J. Harvey, man, he had 17 carries for 75 yards and a touchdown. Also, 6 catches for 25 yards. I just think more time is needed for R.J. Tanner and Brian were asking me this morning on Good Morning NoCo if R.J. Harvey just has a hard time seeing those holes and those rushing lanes opening up. Who am I to speak on that? I just know that typically young running backs, you give them more carries, you give them more reps, they're going to see the field a lot better. And let's face it, R.J. Harvey wasn't getting those reps, especially when J.K. Dobbins was in. And it's kind of been a slow go for him to get meaningful carries. Now he's starting to, and you're starting to see it open up a little bit more. So Broncos get the win. They're 11-2. And defensively, you know, they got to Geno Smith, hurt Geno Smith in that game. They got to Geno 3 times, and then Kenny Pickett came in to finish that game. He went 8 of 11, 97 yards, and a touchdown. They got to him once, so 4 sacks for the Broncos. Nick Benito gets his gets 2 sacks in that game, so Nick Benito continues to just be extremely impressive. It's nice seeing Patrick Surtain. He had the 2 penalty calls against him. Denver's still rough when it comes to penalties. But at this stage, it just feels like, why not the Broncos? Because in the AFC, it is wide open. Absolutely wide open. The Patriots are 11-2. The Broncos are 11-2. Patriots play the Bills this weekend. The Broncos have the Packers. They control their own destiny now. They win the tiebreaker over New England based on best win percentage in conference games plus the common opponent thing. They've got that, too. If the Broncos were to lose a game, I suppose this weekend would be the one to lose because it's an NFC opponent, and maybe the Patriots drop it to the Bills. But you know what? If you're Denver, you could – I mean, you might be. I don't know if they're going to be favorites in all 4 of these games coming up, but it's going to be darn close. And it just feels like Denver finds ways to win. And Bo Nix, man, it's hard to put your thumb on it. But he's just doing the necessary things to win games. There's not a lot of wow factor game. Yeah, he had that nice throw to Cortland Sutton, that touchdown last week. And he's making some good plays here and there. But he just doesn't make a lot of mistakes, man. When he gets sacked, it's actually quite the shock. But they're getting better. I think we can say this one pretty confidently. Bo is getting better. He's playing kind of within the game right now. He kind of is a game manager. And that's not really a knock if you're winning games. But it seems like he's getting better and better. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Through Denver's first 10 games, get this, Nix completed 60.9% of his passes overall. The past 3 weeks, that number has jumped to 70%. 31 of 38 against the Raiders on yesterday. Just seems like he's getting into more of a rhythm. And You know, again, score will tell you one thing, but if you watch that game, there was never really any doubt that Denver was going to win that game. Got it done, Michael. You got to be happy. 11-2, top of the AFC.
And I was really happy that their drives were long drives, mm-hmm. like 6 to 8 minute drives. Like if those drives weren't so long, the Broncos would be scoring 38 points in that game. It felt like old school football.
You didn't have those three and outs early in this game. I mean, you had the first drive was a 14-play drive for 81 yards that took up nearly 9 minutes. I mean, we had two drives in this first quarter. The Broncos touchdown drive. The Raiders had a 6 minute first drive. Then even in the second quarter, you know, you go 9 plays and then you punt. Denver's defense allowing, you know, and then you had the Marvin Mims punt return for time. Dude, the Raiders suck at tackling. The Raiders are terrible at tackling. How many guys did they hit first and then they thought he was tackled and he just kept going? And the rest of their defense is like, oh, whoops, we gave up on the play. That's exactly what happened on that Marvin Mims touchdown. He broke one tackle. The Raiders assumed he was down and he just kept going. That was beautiful. So at that point, Denver goes up 14-7.
Don't forget that time R.J. Harvey broke that tackle.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're bad tackling. Overall, yeah, I think you got to be impressed with how Denver handled this game. I mean, they got up 21-7, and then they extended that lead with a field goal in the fourth quarter, 24-7. How did it get that close? You had a prevent defense going up against the Raiders. Raiders go down and get a touchdown. 6 plays, 65 yards to end, to get to 14. And then the Raiders get the ball back, and funky stuff happens. They get the field goal, and they cover. Why are the Raiders kicking a field goal there? It makes absolutely no sense. So you're going to have, yes, the gambling community very upset with how that one went down. Whatever. You're 11-2, and you're finding ways to win. And this 5-2 on the road. That game did not look like a road game, dude. This is a problem moving it to Las Vegas. Broncos, and there are more Broncos fans in the stands than Raiders fans. I imagine that's probably the case for a lot of Raiders games now, because it's Las Vegas. I mean, that's like now it's a tourist attraction to go there. So, phenomenal dub by the Broncos, and they're happy sitting at 11-2. They could run the table here, Mike. They could run the table and get that first round bye.
Yeah, the Raiders are not the Golden Knights. The Golden Knights are genuinely
Vegas. But they started there. You know, yeah. Las Vegas, an implant. Or a transplant, I should say. That's tough to do. And I had a feeling. Plus, if you're not good at the time of all this kind of happening, how long have they been there now? A few years?
And they haven't been good.
They just haven't been good. And the Broncos own that rivalry again. All is right in the world. The Broncos are owning their AFC West rivalries, except for maybe the Chargers. And now the Chiefs might miss the playoffs. Denver might get a number one seed. Everything is rolling right now in the area. The Nuggets off to their best start in franchise history. Best road win streak in franchise history. The Avalanche, which is not going to lose many. And then the college scene over the weekend was phenomenal. Had a chance to kind of back and forth in between running around with the child. Got to watch a little bit of the Rocky Mountain Showdown basketball version. That was an excellent game. And then Saturday night, watching this Bears game, I was a little worried. You know, you're playing a team that presses 95, 99% of the time, and you're without your point guard. Your starting point guard, Quinn Danker, who has been so special for this team, he goes down early in the first half, yet you're still able to get the dub. So we'll talk about that. We got the Brock Wisney Show coming up here in just a moment. I'm very excited about this. Brock finished with 8 points and 3 boards in this game, but some crucial, crucial boards. Everyone just kind of had to pitch in to get this win, 89-87. And now that's the Bears' best start in program history. So not, you know, Tad Boyle's Buffs lose to the Rams, and then he sees Steve Smiley's Bears take over his best start, you know, award. Not to get an award for that or record or anything, but 9-1 That's legit. The Bears are 9-1. 20 minutes after the hour. We'll talk to Brock Wisney coming up next. My guy here in just a moment. It's a whole show powered by Chevron. Live from the Alifiber Studios. Let's take a short break. Brock Wisney coming up next.
Merry Christmas.
We elves try to stick to the four main food groups. Candy, candy canes, candy corns, and syrup.
Thanks for making KFKA a part of your diet.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Interior Sprinkler Systems presents The Brock Wisney Show on KFKA.
Welcome in to the Brock Wisney Show. Almost called you Brock Osweiler right there.
I've heard that before.
Did an Osweiler. I've been calling you the Brockford Files. We should have changed the name to the Brockford Files. No idea why.
I like that.
What do you think?
I like that name. Yeah.
We could do all your player of the game.
Yeah.
And we'll just say this is the Brockford Files. The Brock Wisney Show presented by Interior Sprinkler Systems. Brock, that game against... we got two games to talk about. Of course, you guys beat Omaha last Wednesday as a part of the Big Sky Summit Challenge. But we got to talk about South Dakota.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys win in overtime, 89-87. Ring Neary, the hero of the game.
Yes.
There were a lot of heroes in this game, though. But first things first, and I don't like to put you on the spot and ask for like any updates or anything, but Quinn Danker played 5 minutes of this game.
Yeah.
And you're going up against a team that, I mean, they press every... The entire time, mm-hmm. pretty much, right?
Yeah, the entire time.
The entire time.
Makes, misses, all of it.
And that's what's crazy. They were doing it on misses, too.
Yeah, crazy.
I know Smiley talked to us a little bit about that and how unique that was. Hard to beat teams that press all the time when you don't have your best ball handler.
Yeah.
And Quinn Danker, certainly, he's your point guard. And he's very stable when it comes to handling the basketball. He plays 5 minutes of this game, goes down with an injury, doesn't return. And I know we don't have – it's kind of a weird – it's almost like a bye week for you guys this week. So we're probably not going to get a lot of information on Quinn just yet. And I'm sure I'll talk to Coach Smiley about what I'm allowed to talk about at some point. But he goes down in this game and, you know, it's just back and forth. It's a tight ball game. You guys get through it, though.
I
mean, the adversity that was thrown at you. Playing a pressing team like that is tough anyway.
Yeah.
But then to lose your starting point guard early in that game, that's a quick adjustment you guys got to make.
Yeah, you know, it was. Quinn predominantly handles the ball for us, you know, almost the entire game. He plays like 40 minutes. So he goes down. We don't know his availability and what it looks like. So a lot of guys got to step up. Like we talked about a little, you know, Vince Delano, he had to come in and step up. Tanner Brachito is probably, you know, the most moments, minutes that he's had in a big game. And a lot of guys kind of had to fill in that spot, and we knew coming into the game that they were going to press a ton. We watched it in film, and it was an emphasis, and then we get out on the court for warm-ups, and, you know, some of their guys got shirts that say Press Dakota, and we're like, man, it's going to be a long game. You know, that really stretches it out. So especially with Quinn going down in that game, they really tried to wear us down, and there was moments where we felt it. You know, I was at the four a lot, so I was up there trying to handle the ball, and I didn't realize how tiring it can be sometimes. And Zach played almost the entire game, and he's dead tired. But, you know, we pulled through. We got guys that step up for each other, and we just kind of kept grinding away and just chipping at the wood. So
Zach made he was on fire from three early. I think he started 4-4. Then he missed, like, two or three in a row, makes one late in that game. Big players make big time shots, man. That's
man, I've never seen Zach shoot a three and think it's not going in. Like even that last one, you know, the clutch one. He's deep. He's way past NBA three, and he just kind of pulls up and nails it. But you know, those moments really get the team going and give us some more momentum back, and you know, get the crowd into it too.
It was just a wild game, and I'll admit there down the stretch, you're wondering like without Quinn, and is that going to start spilling over at some point? But the amount of playmakers that just stepped up.
Yeah.
I mean, yourself included. I mean, you were asked to kind of be put in a different position, handling the ball a little bit once you guys crossed over half court and taking it around, you know, with that decision whether to hand off or just back down into the paint. You got to make quick decisions in that moment, man.
Yeah, it wasn't easy, you know, and me and Egan, we both had two fouls in the first half also, and even our fourth string big, Hunter Caldwell, he came in, he had almost two fouls in the first, I believe. So, you know, it was very, very different. And like you mentioned, we found, you know, this little wrinkle in what they were doing. So when I was at the four, they would just feed me the ball in the post, and they had a little guy on me. So either they let me go to work on that guy, which would be fairly easy. But what they did every time is they took their five man. So whoever was probably on Egan at the time, and they would double me. And it was so different because it would leave Egan or that Skip open. So every time I would get down in the post and I would read whether to dump it to Egan or skip it. And it was different because Smiley doesn't repeat plays normally. Like, he's a guy that likes to – he has hundreds of plays. You know, he likes to keep guys on their toes. But we found this, and it was a dirty game. And he's like, man, we just got to keep resorting to this. So we kind of just kept going at it. And really, that was almost the only play we ran for most of the game. So.
I think I asked, you know, you and Coach Smiley from last week, like, how important is a game like this for Quinn Danker?
Yeah.
When you have a pressing team like this, having that ball handler, and obviously both of you guys are like, yeah, it's super important. Yeah. He played 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, that's tough on coaches, too, because suddenly you kind of got to – not that you don't trust other guys, and we'll get into Vincent Delano and Burkita. Yeah, my goodness. And what they were able to – Burkita, too, being – what is he, a freshman?
He's a freshman, yeah.
For him to handle that and this both those guys handling that and Zach Block handling it as well. The game plan changes, but you just need guys to step up. You found a way to do it.
Yeah, we did. You know, it was – I think that, you know, when something like that happens, it's about adjusting and – I think that we had guys that could do that. And, you know, it rang, obviously, at that tip in at the end. That was awesome.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I was sitting there on the bench. I was fouled out at the time. You know, I got my fifth foul on a questionable call. And a
couple of questionable calls.
Yeah. But, you know, I was thinking on the bench. I'm like, man, why don't we just have a buzzer beater, no time left, just walk off the floor and just end this game now. And, you know, ring. Ibu shot it. I'm like, man, that's cash.
It goes in and out.
In and out, like, twice. And then Ring comes in and cleans it up. So that was quite awesome.
And there was no doubt when I saw him put it back in.
Yeah.
Because obviously they had to go back and review it. But I was looking right up at the backboard. It did not light up. That ball was all the way through.
Yeah, even watching it live, I'm like, he got that off in time. And the light was off, so that's game.
So you're in overtime, obviously, and just getting there was a battle.
It was.
Egan Shields came up with some big free throws for you guys.
Big time.
But, you know, I'm going to be honest with me. Like, games like this, pressing team, foul trouble, fouling out, no Quinn Danker, there's got to be a part of you that's like, yeah, we need the buzzer beater here.
Yeah.
Just go into another overtime. Can we survive? I mean, I know you're confident.
Yeah. We're 3-0 now in overtime.
3-0,
yeah.
Which is the most. What did I read? The first season with three overtime wins.
Yeah.
You guys have never done that before.
And we're only third through the season.
Only third through the season. You're going to give us a heart attack.
Oh,
but, you know, there had to be a part of you in the back of your brain that's like, can we survive another overtime?
Yeah, you know, I think that when it comes to overtime, I believe that we're always going to win just purely because of our veteran leadership and guys, you know, having good attitudes and just keep pushing. But, you know, it was different. I feel like on a regular night we beat those guys by 20 or 30. You know, with Quinn staying in and no foul trouble, I feel like we outmatched them in a lot of ways. But that's just how the game shaped out. And I think we were able to make the plays that were necessary and kind of just, you know, keep at it even when it didn't look perfect.
Yeah. Well, you know what? 9-1.
Yeah.
That is also – that's your best start in program history.
It's pretty cool.
How about that, man?
Yeah.
Like, that's got to be a cool thing. You guys have had some great games, big moments, and Big Sky regular season champs last year, playing in the Big Sky Conference Championship. But also to add this one to that ledger is pretty cool. Best start.
It is. It is cool. Just keep stacking days, man. That's all it's about. That's all we're doing.
Come on. That offensive foul they called on you.
I you know what? Maybe the ref saw something I didn't see.
What was that, dude? Like, it was a reverse layup. You put it in. That was a big moment in the game.
Yeah.
I'm like tweeting out Brock freaking Wisney, and they're like, offensive foul. Your hand didn't hook him, man.
No.
You just went straight. I mean, it was like behind you.
I didn't really hook him. I remember I made the layup and I fall down. I'm like, maybe I just got fouled. I'm laying down and I don't really want to look up because I'm like, I feel like this guy may have just kind of, you know, called a not great call. And I look up and he's walking back the other way and pointing. I'm like, oh, geez.
Such a stupid call.
But Smiley was going crazy. I'm like, it's okay, Smiley. You can't change
that. Was that your fourth foul?
That was fifth.
That was your fifth. That was the foul.
It.
That's right. Okay.
That was it.
Trying to remember like the sequence of how this all happened. It was crazy. But I couldn't believe it. You go from a potential like big time basket there to put you guys up to now you're out of the game.
It is what it is, man. Mm. Got the dub.
How frustrated were you? Because the cameras weren't on you, so I
was frustrated. I would say I was more frustrated at my fourth foul. By then, I'm like, when it's your fifth foul, there's not much you can do. So I got to kind of shift my mind to, you know, supporting my team, you know, energy and kind of just, you know, being a good voice there. Because if I get all in my own deal, you know, I'm kind of screwing my team for the last, you know, 2 minutes or however long in overtime.
That's that leadership thing that comes into play too, right?
Yeah.
Rather than flip out and get a technical or anything like that, you know, hey, I fouled out. I got to go to the bench.
Yeah, and it's the same with, like, Quinn. Like, Quinn was out for the game, and he was still, like, the biggest voice in the huddles and just, you know, egging guys on and not in his own deal or selfish in any way. So.
Never a good sign when you see him come out at halftime in street clothes.
Yeah, not a good sign.
Not a good sign. Yeah. So, again, hopefully we'll get updates on Quinn Danker. He's been such a special player for you guys.
Yeah.
But you mentioned both these guys, Vincent Delano and Tanner Burkita, and what they were able to do. Just honestly, not even the stats, but just being able to handle the basketball.
Yeah. You know, I think that Vince, first of all, is a really good handler. He's quick. And I think he's a really good passer, too. So having him be able to step in and, you know, be able to make plays and just kind of take some pressure off of Zach sometimes is huge. And same with Tanner, right? We didn't have a ton of guards. We're kind of short on the guard side. And I think that Tanner, being young, he's very, you know, he's stable-minded. And he knows what he's good at. He knows what he's not. And he's just going to kind of do what's best for the team. So,
what's going through your brain? So Ibu takes that final shot.
Yeah.
You guys have possession. It's still tied. We're thinking double overtime here. Ibu takes the shot. That thing, like we said, goes in and out. Ring appears like out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Tips that back in. What's going through your mind right when Ibu takes that shot?
When Ibu took the shot, I'm like, oh, that's in. Like, like we're about to get like a game winner here. It goes in and out. I think maybe it's going to fall back in because it bounces up. And then, like, Ring comes and cleans it up. And I'm like, in my head, I was like, that's good. And there's no time. You know, let's court storm a little bit. So our team goes and, you know, tackles him. And it was funny. He was pinned on his stomach. And guys were, like, grabbing his head and stuff and laying on him. But
dude, he got up. It's like, it looks like he was going to jump over the ring. Like, he got up. He was
He gets up. You know,
he's
got a long wingspan. He's got a little bit of bounce. You know, he's athletic.
What was the vibe like in the locker room after that win?
It was good. It was hype. We were just all dancing around, you know, just yelling at each other and stuff and grabbing Ring and just, you know, letting them know. It was just, you know, we all celebrate. After every single win, you got to celebrate. You know, you don't get them very often. There's only 30 games in a season, so it's about enjoying the ones you get.
Well, you played, of those 30 games, you've got 10, and you've won 9 of them.
Yeah.
And the one you lost was a half-court buzzer beater.
Yeah, I wish it would be 10, but, you know, we'll keep going.
That's crazy to me. The only loss you guys have was a half-court buzzer beater.
Yeah, but, I mean, stuff can go either way. Like, we've had 3 overtime games, a lot of close games, and, you know, it's all about, you know, counting your blessings. So we've started well.
You guys beat Omaha. I mean, close game there. That was back and forth, too.
It was a close
Not as
game.
Dramatic as the South Dakota game, though.
No, not as dramatic. It was a good game also. You know, I think that they have a really nice arena, and they had a decent crowd there. And that was also one where we kind of just had, you know, suck it up and keep pushing through. It was a good game. It was a good game.
So do you guys get anything for this, like a trophy or anything? Because you won both games.
I think the Big Sky gets to post, like, bragging rights, and that's really what it chalks up to. I know that we got the Summit League pretty good this year, so I think that's all it is. Big Sky being, like, I think they said, like, third time's a charm or something on Twitter like that. I think Summit League beat us last year, so.
Gotta love it, though.
Yeah.
And more importantly, the Bears taking care of business. Now you're off this week. And you have Texas Tech coming up. Nice trip coming up for you guys, going up against a really, really good basketball team.
Yeah, it is. You know, I think that we have this entire week for, you know, finishing up some finals, but mostly just preparing. I think that the first, you know, 5 days all the way up until Friday is just, our coach says it, but worrying about us. You know, we're not focused on the scout or Texas Tech. We're just trying to get better. And by the time it gets to, you know, Saturday, maybe Sunday, we're kind of dialing in on that scout. So as of now, that's in the distance, and we'll be coming up on it soon.
Yeah, 8 more days, 8 days in between.
It's a while.
It's a while now, man. So rest up and take care of yourself. We'll take a short break here. We'll continue with the Brock Wisney Show, presented by Interior Sprinkler Systems. Check these guys out online, interiorsprinkler.com. Shane's a diehard fan.
Yeah.
You know,
I saw him in Omaha. He was in Omaha with us. That was fun.
Was he dressed up? Was he there
for
the Saturday game?
Was he
one of the dudes dressed up? Because I know where he sits, so I'm looking out for him.
They were all dressed up. It was good.
Well, you know, the Bears are on fire, but you don't want your house or your business to be on fire.
Did.
Make sure you talk to Interior Sprinkler Systems, interiorsprinkler.com. The Brock Wisney Show continues. Michael, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, everybody. Steve Smiley, head men's basketball coach at the University of Northern Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on KFKA.
Welcome back into the Brock Wisney Show, presented by Interior Sprinkler Systems. Visit these guys online at interiorsprinkler.com. Talking about the Bears, best start in program history at 9-1 after a cardiac arrest type of game against South Dakota. A lot of close games. Do you feel kind of like you're already kind of battle tested in this young season?
Yeah, this is good for us, man. Yeah. You know, I think that, you know, as you go throughout season, so many of the games are close, and we're learning how to win those close games. So.
Yeah, a lot of close games for you guys. Yeah. Now you're off for the week. What does the week of practice look like? Is it less intense, more intense?
It'll be a lot more intense. I think what we have is we have today practice, tomorrow will be off, and then we practice 2 days in a row and have Friday off. And I think all three of those days are going to be like a lot more intense than a regular practice in season. We have so much time until our next game, so I think that they're going to make sure, you know, we keep our conditioning up, and we're making sure the sword is sharp when it comes to next week.
So Texas Tech, like, they're a really good team.
They are.
They're a very good basketball team. I think they're 16th or 15th right now. Mm-hmm. But they had a battle against a Wyoming team that you had a really good battle against.
Yeah.
So, again, I don't know how much you want to look into that kind of thing, but that was a very close game. It was 76-72.
Yeah. I think that, you know, we're confident when it comes to any game, and you don't want a team that's going to go into a battle like you're mentioning and think that they're going to lose already. So we're going to go into a game thinking we can win it and that we can go out there and, you know, do some good stuff. And I think that it starts with this week, and we're going to stay present right now and just, you know, hit the ground running like we have every other game and just do the best we can. So
it's the mentality. Yeah. And listen, maybe 4 years ago, I'm going, yeah, Brock, yeah, good for you, man. Like, you're going to go into Texas Tech and you're going to hope. I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah.
I would not be shocked.
Well, we wouldn't be shocked either, honestly.
That's the confidence. Yeah. And plus, you don't win 9 games, you know, by accident.
Yeah.
And out of 10.
Yeah, we have a team that's going to fight against everybody. And, you know, I've been saying it from the beginning of the show, you approach every game the same, and it gives you a great chance, you know.
They got a pretty good player in JT Toppin.
They do.
Really good. Yeah. Will you be kind of – probably haven't even looked at the scout and stuff, but what does that matchup kind of look like?
Yeah, I know that the guys that will probably mainly guard him will be me, like the big guys, right? He's their five. So me and Egan, and we both played him last year. I think that we did a decent job on him. So I think that we really got to approach that and just do the absolute best we can and hold each other accountable. And I think that we just have to go out there and fight and just, you know, treat it like we're trying to minimize him just the same as anybody else.
Three non-conference games left for you guys at Texas Tech, DU, and then see you kind of spread out in these next three games. And then you start the real deal on New Year's. So three games to finish up December, really.
Yeah, we're excited. I think that, you know, we have so much time to prepare for all these games. And it'll be a good kind of break, you know, to recover our bodies in between these games and just kind of, you know, go into conference ready and kind of a little fresh.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to these final games in the non-con portion of the schedule. Then you take on Montana State on New Year's Day.
Yeah, that'll
start off the Big Sky Conference.
Yeah, we'll be out in Bozeman for New Year's, and that's always fun. I know that we were in Moscow 1 year, and, you know, just random places on the road, you know, stay up till midnight, say woo, and then fall asleep, get ready for the game the next day. But that'll be a good one.
48 minutes after the hour. We'll finish up with Brock coming up next. He's happy about the win, but you did have kind of a loss over the weekend when it comes to the
Notre
college
Dame.
Football playoffs.
You know, it's okay. There's a lot of opinions. It is what it is.
It's a wild time to be alive, isn't it? All right, 48 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break. It's the Brock Wisney Show, presented by Interior Sprinkler Systems. We'll be right back.
We elves try to stick to the four main food groups. Candy, candy canes, candy corns, and syrup.
Thanks for making KFKA a part of your diet.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, a former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Yeah, Faith's got your back on the text line, Brock. That offensive foul was absolutely insane. Refs were blind to that one for sure.
I appreciate it.
Yeah,
thank you.
Faith rocking it with the Bears, of course. Brock, before we wrap up here, we got to give player of the game out, too.
Can't forget that.
Let's go back to the Omaha game. You guys win 75-70. Quinn was pretty good. Yeah. You were pretty good. Ebu was pretty good. Where are we going?
Quinn Danker.
Yeah.
Yeah, good game for him, man. It was, I think, like 22, 23 points, 3 rebounds, 8 assists about. He had a really good game, so definitely Quinn.
5 player of the games now for Quinn Danker.
Well-deserved.
All right, so where are you going on South Dakota, man?
Yeah, you know, this is an interesting one. You got guys that played really good whole games. We got guys that, you know, had big moments. I came into it thinking one guy, but then I'm like, I am going to give it to Egan.
I thought you were going to go that way.
Yeah, he had a really good game. He's worked really hard in his free throws, clutch free throws, hit most of them all game, and I would ring, you know, rings in the back of my mind there. Huge play, huge tip in game winner, but I'm going Egan for that one.
So Egan is another first-time player of the game here. I mean, he got to the line 14 times, 11 of 14, though.
Yeah.
Huge, and these were critical free throws, man. Big-time nerves, all that stuff, and he got through it.
Yeah, you know, I'm proud of him, man. Last year he had a bad free throw percentage, and he's just kind of in his head a little. He's worked really hard in the offseason, you know, just shooting a lot of free throws, and I think that we're all confident that he can make them, and he showed that. So
yeah, well, there we go. Quinn Danker against Omaha, and we're going to go Egan Shields with South Dakota. I had a feeling you might go there.
Yeah.
Ring had the play of the night.
He
but
did.
Egan Shields doesn't make those. What was it in regulation? He has to make those
two free throws right at the end before we get that last stop. And
without those, you don't have the Ring Neary play.
100%.
So, yeah, Egan Shields was very good in that one. Now you'll be practicing. You'll be off, but you still have a lot of practice coming up here in the next few days. And then Texas Tech on December 16th, man.
Yeah, it's never really off, is it? You know.
No, it never really is for you guys. If you're not playing, you're practicing. We know how that goes.
You love it. You got to love it.
How do you feel about the college football playoffs, man? I am not getting in.
Yeah, I'm upset. Yeah. You know, I think that as most Notre Dame fans are, but I think I got all of my anger out yesterday scrolling through Twitter and seeing all the people making those points and, you know, Alabama shouldn't have got in, whatever. But, you know, I like the Group 5 teams making it in.
Two of them getting in this year.
I like the mid-major madness going on there. So I love fun watching it regardless, but it is what it is.
Do you think the committee is going to make some major changes now?
I think we might like see an expansion, possibly, maybe a rule, you know, ranking different, you know, analytics for those, and we'll see how it goes.
They're going to make this thing so freaking complicated.
Yeah.
It's going to be like, if you're a conference champ but you're not ranked above 20, then you don't count. But
it's never simple.
It's not going to be simple. I think you got to add more teams to it.
Yeah.
And we'll see.
Let's go 64.
Yeah,
how about we go March Madness basketball?
Just make the whole season the playoffs.
Yeah.
You all start with the schedule. You lose, you're out. You
might just get rankings, one and to very last, and just play the entire season.
I think that's what we do. Just the whole season is the playoffs from now on.
Sounds good.
Brock, great job as always, man. What a gutsy weekend for the UNC Bears. Congratulations on the 9-1 start,
my friend. Thank you. Thank you. It's been awesome. It's been a lot of fun.
Don't be committing any offensive fouls here in the next week. Okay?
I won't for the rest of the year, I'm sure.
It's not a foul, though. I'm writing a letter.
Don't write a letter. Okay. Don't write a letter.
You won't
That might give me worse calls.
You
in the
won't
game.
Sign off on that? Okay.
No.
Brock, my man, great job as always.
Yeah.
No good luck this week because you're not playing, but
we'll catch up with you
Monday and we'll give you a good luck then. We'll talk to you then, my friend. All right, the Brock Wisney Show, presented by Interior Sprinkler Systems. Top stories of the day coming up next on The Whole Show, powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.